This is the Speaking of Writers podcast. I'm Steve Richards. The book is The Girl from the Grand Hotel, the author Camille Aubre, the number one best-selling author of Cooking for Picasso and The Godmother's Returns with this book, a dazzling historical novel that brings readers into the glamorous world of the first and doomed Cannes Film Festival and the deadly atmosphere of Europe on the brink of war. It is the summer of 1939. The glittering Côte d'Azur is having a particularly brilliant season, and the world's wealthiest vacationers collide with Hollywood's illustrious movie stars for the first ever film festival on the French Riviera. Into this hothouse playground comes an American named Annabelle Foucault. Having left a dead-end job and a broken heart back in New York, she's escaped to a summer stint at the fabulous Grand Hotel, where her uncle is the manager. But when a major movie studio brings its flock of stars to stay at the hotel, Annabelle is handpicked to keep an eye on two of the mysterious arrivals, a screenwriter who's been in his cups, and a renegade actor who keeps luring the studio's female star into his independent productions. The arrival of Nazi guests only intensifies the situation. Suddenly, everyone is watching everybody else during this feverish last summer before the outbreak of World War II. Faced with international spies who will stop at nothing to get what they want, Annabelle finds herself embroiled in murder, intrigue, and a race against the clock to disrupt a secret Nazi communications system. Inspired by true events and the histories of three great hotels on the Côte d'Azur, with appearances by such real-life luminaries as F. Scott Fitzgerald, James Cagney, Mae West, The Girl from the Grand Hotel is a brilliant page-turner that is not to be missed. Camille Aubre is the indie-bound best-selling author of Cooking for Picasso and The Godmothers. Her novels made the best books lists of People, Newsweek, BuzzFeed, Parade, The Boston Globe, Cosmopolitan, Voters Travel, Veranda, the Indie Next List for Readers Group, and Amazon Celebrity Picks. Aubre was an Edward F. Albee Foundation Fellowship winner, a writer in residence at the Caroli Foundation in the south of France, and a finalist at the Eugene O'Neill Playwrights Conference. And she has written television drama and documentary. Happy to have, for the very first time here on Speaking of Writers, Camille Aubre joined me now. Welcome to this program.
Hello, Steve.
So where did the idea for The Girl from the Grand Hotel come from, Camille?
Well, I spent a lot of time on the French Riviera. It started with a writer's residency, and that gave me a chance to immerse myself in the culture, cuisine, and the history. And then I kept returning because as a scriptwriter, I was attending television conferences and other film festivals. So I just got to know the place. I got to know people, particularly some very lovely people who ran a grand hotel there. And I started investigating the history of other hotels, the history of the Riviera. And lo and behold, I came across this little nugget of history that was hiding in plain sight, which is the story of the first Cannes Film Festival. Now, most people, even the ones I've worked with in film and TV, assumed that the 1946 Film Festival was the very first one. But actually, they were planning to do this in 1939 as an antidote to the fascism that was all around them. They wanted to make this beacon of freedom. And it was scheduled for September 1st, 1939. But the summer before, it was just filled with all these glorious parties with all these incredible 1930s movie stars arriving by the Trente Bleu, by, you know, special chartered ocean liners. So I really had a lot to work with once I uncovered this little secret.
Brendan Dineen at Blackstone Publishing said that you have a knack for uncovering hidden gems in history that have been overlooked. What's your secret, Camille?
I guess I'm just very, very nosy and very, very persistent. Brendan is my editor, and he was very excited about the book, and so was I. So, you know, we really hit it off, and this is just my thing. I don't know why I do it, but I do.
Create some sympathetic characters here in this book. Let's start with Annabelle. How did you create Annabelle?
Well, you know, I guess in the back of my mind, there's always been this tradition, like with Henry James or Edith Wharton, about the American girl abroad, you know, the American girl going to Europe, and she's sort of wide-eyed and innocent, and she discovers the good, the bad, the beautiful, and the ugly. And I suppose I was doing a, now I'm putting quote unquote modern take on it, because it's not that modern. It was in 1939, but I have always loved the 1930s movies. I think that women were sort of on the brink of feminism before the war. The war kind of disrupted it. But, you know, you had wisecracking people like Jean Harlow, you know, talking back to Wallace Beery and James Cagney. So I had the environment, and I thought, well, okay, let me take this American girl who's just out of college, isn't quite sure what she wants to do with her life. And so she takes this little thing that she thinks of as a summer job, you know, a summer gig with her French uncle. And she says, okay, you know, I'll work there. It'll get me to France. But she walks right into the seething cauldron that Europe was on the brink of World War II. And there were actually fascist spies up and down the coast of the Riviera, including a hairdresser in disguise who was really a spy. So lots of stories there.
What else did you do as part of your research process for this book?
Well, I look at, whenever I'm researching a particular period for a book, I look at everything. I look at the press, the magazines, the newspapers. I listen to the music of the time, and definitely watch the movies, especially in this case. But I even looked at, you know, old menus, because there were a lot of parties just before the film festival was supposed to officially open. And I saw all these great big galas, you know, which had incredible, beautiful food. But also I discovered that there was a really awful thunderstorm during one of these parties. And some of the more prescient guests thought that this was a bad omen, you know, that war really was going to come. So that thunderstorm figured into my novel in a very pivotal scene. So all these little bits and pieces, you know, I just like to get a real feel. And of course, I watched the movies. There are many movie stars who pop up in the novel, and my editor called them like little Easter eggs that you discover on a hunt, you know. And but I looked into every single, you know, biography of these people that I could find, because I really wanted them there for a reason, not just, you know, to pop up for fun. So Annabelle's walking around and she's dealing with guests, and she never knows who she's going to find behind those sunglasses there.
Mm. I mentioned in the introduction that you've written television drama and documentary. Camille, what are the challenges in writing historical fiction?
Well, it's funny, you know, I had this conversation with Allison Camerata of CNN. She interviewed me for my previous novel, and she said, boy, I just wrote a novel about the 1970s, and that was hard enough, she said, because if you make a change on page 72, you have to go back to page 13 and make sure that it coordinates, you know? Mm. So she said, how do you do it? Because you've done decades. And I guess, well, for one thing, I have this enormous corkboard where I put on everybody's ages and dates and all that, so that I can always have a reference nearby to make sure that I'm getting it right.
How did you come to be a writer?
Well, you know, that's one of those things that, I mean, I was 8 years old. We had just moved into a new house in a new neighborhood, and it was August, so there weren't any other little kids around. And I thought that that meant that there were no little kids living on my street. And I was kind of depressed about it. So I sat down in the garden and wrote my first poem, and I felt a lot better. And then within a week, little kids started popping up because they were coming back from their vacation. So I guess I thought that there was something magical about writing, that, you know, no matter how alone you may feel, pretty soon you have some friends.
What do you think of the ingredients that make up a good story?
Well, I can tell you from the experience of writing it that when I'm writing something, I don't think to myself, I'm writing now, I'm writing a story. And I don't think about the blank page. I think about opening a door and going into this scene or this thing that I, you know, usually I've had this story brewing for a while in my mind, and I put together a little, I write, scribble on post-its in the middle of the night, Steve. Until I collect enough of them that I feel confident that there is a world there and that I have a feeling for the characters and who they are. Even historical characters, I want to stay true to them. And I say, well, how would that historical person, knowing what I know about him, react to my fictional character, in this case, Annabelle? So I just try to stay in that world. I just try to go through that door and stay there.
You have to use those post-it notes so those ideas will be gone, right? In the middle of the night, you've
Yeah, oh,
got to
yes.
jot those down.
Yes, I have spoken to, I was speaking to college students recently, and they said, you know, what should we do? And I said, if you get an idea in the middle of the night, don't think that you're going to remember it the next day because you probably won't. So write it down.
What's the most difficult part about writing for you?
Oh, I don't know if it's difficult, but I think that, well, first of all, what I also tell students that when you're writing, you should not be in your editor mode. You know, you should not be self-conscious. Sometimes I even tell them, turn off the spell checker. You have to turn it on later to check it, but you know, so you don't get distractions. But then after you've written it, you edit it. And I've actually found that enjoyable because I feel that's like alchemy. You're peeling away all the things you don't need until you get it really refined down to what it should be. So, you know, then when you're publishing, you go over the manuscript again and again because you go through the copy edit and then the proofread. And all of those things are very important. You make good discoveries along the way. But I think, in answer to your question about difficulty, I think you just have to stay fresh and you have to stay almost like being an athlete in training. You have to stay in shape so that you keep your energy up.
You mentioned your post-it notes in the middle of the night before. What would you say is your most interesting writing quirk?
A quirk. Let me think about that for a second. I don't know if I'm really that quirky. I would just say, you know, well, I have a hat that I like. Sometimes I wear a hat that I like so that I can sit outdoors. It has a little visor, you know, and if I feel like riding out on the deck there, I'll do that. So maybe that's quirky. I don't know. I think I'm pretty normal.
You're organizing a literary dinner party, Camille. Which three writers, dead or alive, do you invite?
Okay, well, let's see. I'll start with my mentor, Margaret Atwood, because she's always fun in a conversation and she's still alive. Now, I guess I would put, because of this book, I would put F. Scott Fitzgerald. I won't do any spoilers, but you know, he does figure in. And so he absolutely must be there. Now, let's see who else. I think, you know, today I think I'm going to throw in Raymond Chandler. I like him.
Good one. Good ones. Yes. Did you always know that you were a good storyteller?
Well, you know, it's funny. You know, with the Barbie movie recently, I realized I had forgotten about this. What my Barbie doll and dolls were for me was that I used to act out stories with them, and I used to call them adventures. And I never wanted to do boring stuff that everybody, you know, just does or that you've seen. I always tried to make up something really incredible. And those Barbie cars, actually, if you push them too hard, they did turn over and fly up in the air, just like in the movie. So I would play with that. And a lot of my friends used to say to me, you really have to come and play with us. It's so boring when you're not there. We don't have any adventures. So I guess that's when I sort of figured out that, you know, I was good at making up stories, I guess.
When you're writing an emotionally draining scene, how do you get in the mood for that?
Well, I think those scenes kind of creep up on me because you're going along with the book and it's, you know, you're rolling. It's almost like the sea, you know, you're going along and you're going along and then the wave comes and you just have to be ready to get on that surfboard and stay there.
In The Girl from the Grand Hotel and the glittering Côte d'Azur, which character in this book would you love to have a French dinner with there?
A French
And
dinner with.
why?
Okay. You know, Marlene Dietrich is in it, and she's kind of fascinating. So I probably would enjoy talking to her. But I also like Annabelle's uncle, Uncle JP, who was partially, I can't say he was based on someone I knew, but he was inspired by someone I know there who's been just delightful to me and who managed one of the hotels. And when he knew that I was writing a book about a hotel, he was just great. And he gave me all these vintage photos from the 1930s from the hotel. And he told me stories about other hotels. So I would definitely want to have dinner with him because he's a good soul.
And Camille, what would you like readers to take away from The Girl from the Grand Hotel?
Well, it's interesting, you know, because the Publishers Weekly Review said, even though there's all this dazzle and glamour in this novel, they said all along Camille Aubry has been setting the scene for deeper themes about, oh, you know, exploitation, about fascism, about, but you know, those things are political. I think what they meant was deeper themes about the way people aren't so great to each other. Like, for instance, dieting, you know, the Hollywood standard of how you have to look. And there's a character in the book who is not, you know, svelte, but she's a good singer. And so, you know, I think that I was examining how human beings restrict themselves and how they can expand instead.
Bionna Davis, New York Times bestselling author, said about this book, a delicious romp through the south of France wrapped in a tense spy thriller. I was swept away by the fast-paced story and Kenny twists, an exhilarating ride. It is The Girl from the Grand Hotel. The author is Camille Aubry. You can connect with Camille online. She has a website, Camille Aubry, AUBRAY.com. Camille, thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure, Steve. It's lovely to talk to you.
Thank you. And this is Speaking of Writers.